Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's hard to wait, isn't it? It's hard to wait in line at the Walmart when there's a whole two people in front of you. It's hard to wait when you're at the clinic and you know you've got something after it and there's a lot of people there in the waiting room. It's hard to wait when you know that there's 3 days until Christmas. It is hard to wait for dessert to be served. And I don't care what age you are there, all right? It is hard to wait for someone to stop talking so that you can finally talk. It's hard to wait. It's especially hard to wait when we suffer. It's hard to wait when we are told that results will be coming in a few days. It's hard to wait when we are receiving treatment. It's hard to wait when we feel sick to our stomach. It's hard to wait when we feel chronic pain. And it's hard to wait when the depression sets in yet again. It's hard to wait. It's also hard to wait for the last day to come. Our text says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Here we are, we're living in the world of sin and brokenness, and it's just not easy to wait for this promised return of Jesus. It's especially not easy because it feels like we've waited long enough. 2,000 years. And I know Scripture says that for God, that a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. Well, come on, God. I mean, isn't 2 days long enough? I mean, it's been 2,000 years on the flip side here. I mean, that seems long enough. It's just so hard to wait. I've yet to find anyone who really appreciates waiting. I mean, if I were to ask all this group here who appreciates waiting, I'm pretty sure I would get a zero. I've also yet to find anyone who really is a patient person. In fact, I've often joked actually about patience, that when God was handing out those spiritual gifts of patience, you know, he actually skipped me. Maybe you feel the same way. When we have to wait, especially when we suffer, what is our response more often than not? We groan. That's what we do. Maybe you're familiar with this concept, groaning. You ever heard someone groan before? It's that deeply embedded feeling in the body that comes out in a form of a sound. It kind of sounds like this. Now, I'd ask you to repeat it, but I'm sure you've never done it before. Yeah. I mean, parents are probably familiar with this sound that comes from their children when they don't get their way, right? Do I have to? I never get my way. Why do I always get the harder jobs? Oh, I never get to do what I want to do. Sound familiar? Now, before kids feel like, you know, I'm only picking on them, I'd like to tell you kids, adults groan too. And actually with the same exact lines. Now, they might not say it out loud, but I'm telling you, they actually do the same thing. Oh, do I have to? Why do I always have to do the harder jobs? Why do I always get what they want and I don't get what I want? It sounds the exact way, all right? Adults do it too. Groaning just has this negative connotation to it, as if things are just not going our way. But is that the only form of groaning that there is? No. In fact, our text actually exposes that there's a different form of groaning. In fact, in our text, we find that creation groans, we groan, and the Holy Spirit groans. And we find that there's a lot of groaning going on. In fact, that there is a different tone to the groan that is going on here, and St. Paul highlights this for us. So, number one. First, we hear that creation groans. Let me take you back to the text. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. Long before we were born, in the Garden of Eden, Adam, my namesake, really don't like that name, long story, tell you later, Adam and Eve fell into sin, and we're familiar with the story, right? The serpent comes along and deceived them, and they ate that forbidden fruit. And then all of a sudden, after that eating of the forbidden fruit, the serpent was cursed. Then you have the promise given to Adam and Eve that there would be an offspring of Eve that would come along and crush the head of the serpent. Rockin' awesome, all right, that means that Jesus is gonna come. And then all of a sudden comes the promise, or the curse, of the pain of childbirth. And lastly comes the curse of the ground. And ever since then, creation has been groaning. But it's not a groaning like we have a groaning. It's more of a groaning that's a longing. In fact, it's actually likened to the pains of childbirth, where the mother endures great pain, looks forward to holding her child once the intense labor has drawn to a close. And it looks like this looking forward, this longing to what is to come, while at the same time, this intense labor pain has to be endured. And in this case, for creation, the bondage and the corruption has to be endured, all the while the longing is still there. It's that type of a groan. And so as we look around at the world around us, what we see are, we see hurricanes, and we see tsunamis, and we see tornadoes, and earthquakes, and forest fires, and all these types of things going on. And those are the types of groanings, these longings of creation that just can't wait for the last day to come. These are the reminders to us that as we wait, and I know we hate waiting, that the time of Christ's coming is drawing closer. And so as these things intensify around us, and indeed they are yet reminders to us that the time of Christ's return is getting closer and closer and closer. So creation groans. Number two, we groan. Our text says, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Whenever the topic of adoption comes up, I can't help but tell this story. I know I've told it before, but the thing is, it just fits so well because my dad was adopted. And in that story, my dad was 4 years old. His dad was 24 years old. And his dad was working at a gravel pit. And there were three men who had fallen into the gravel pit. He tried to save these other men who had fallen into the gravel pit, and he got pulled in as well, and all four men suffocated to death. And so my grandmother, 20 years old, was left with my dad and his brother, 4 and 3 years old respectively, to raise those two boys on her own. Until my grandfather, the man that I knew as my grandfather, came along and adopted those boys. And when he died, my dad spoke of how it meant so much that he chose them. He adopted them into his family. He didn't have to do that, but he chose them to be a part of his family and to take the name of Gless. My blood last name is actually Lewis. That's the groaning we are invited into this world, filled with its suffering and hardships. We long to be chosen, to be adopted into the family of God, and not left as orphans or anything like that, left to ourselves. We long to be fed at the table of our Father who loves us beyond measure. We long to have someone who will hear our groans and our longings as we wait for all of the hurts of this life to finally come to an end. And we indeed come here with our hurts, don't we? All of us can attest as we come here that we have our hurts. Some of us in our groanings, we are grieving right now the loss of loved ones. And I would just like to say a word on that. The American culture has a very interesting concept on grieving. The American culture does not understand grieving whatsoever. Grieving is something that you get over. That's what the American culture wants to say. Are you over that death yet? We'll give you 3 days at your business to get over that. People at work, are you over that? Grieving is not something that we get over. Grieving is something that goes with us. And the encouragement is that we have a God who joins with us in the valley of the shadow of death and does not fear to journey with us in that valley of the shadow of death and says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, even in the valley of the shadow of death. And so as you come here, even though you may be grieving, know that you have a God who goes with you. Some of us are filled with loneliness, isolation, and separation. That's the encouragement of coming into a family of faith, is that this is a place that we can be encouraged that we are not alone, that we have people who come alongside of us in the midst of this journey. Some of us are suffering physically or spiritually amidst all of the assaults of the evil foe as he tries to drive us from Christ. Some of us are suffering mentally in a world that seems to think that mental illness is not a real deal. Well, let me tell you, as one who suffers from it, it indeed is. We just can't wait for the redemption of our bodies. We can't wait to look up into the clouds and be able to see that Jesus himself is coming down to hear the trumpet play, to be able to hear the voice of the archangel, and to be able to see that God himself is coming to us and we will always be with our Lord. This is our hope in our world of sin and suffering. And let me tell you this, it's not a vain hope. It is a sure and certain hope that it is spoken of in the book of Hebrews. It is something that we groan for, that is sure and certain. It is an accomplished hope. It is done. It is finished. It was accomplished by Jesus who groaned on our behalf on that cross. Think of how he must have groaned with longing as he bled and died on that tree. Think of how he must have groaned as he willingly subjected himself to the very wrath that should have been yours and should have been mine. Think of how he must have groaned as he gave that one last excruciating breath and in doing so swallowed up your death and mine. And in doing so ensured that all of this was not in vain. His Father accepted all of that perfect sacrifice. And after 3 days in the grave, he was raised back to life, raised to give hope to your hurting hearts, raised to bring healing to the suffering that you endure, raised to declare that death, your death, does not get the final say. Jesus does. And now we wait the resurrection with great and eager groaning, both for the creation that surrounds us and for us. And the cool thing is, we don't wait alone because the Spirit groans. Our text says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit himself intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. I don't know about you, but I oftentimes really struggle with prayer. Have you ever had a moment where you just don't know what to pray for? That life is just really overwhelming. The encouragement of this text is that the Spirit intercedes with groans too deep for words. Now, I don't know what those groans sound like, but they got to be pretty good. The Spirit is here to help as we endure the trials and the tribulations, the hardships and the heartaches of this life. We are not left to our own devices. So even when we don't have the words to say, the same Spirit who is embedded within our hearts, that's given to us in the very water and the word of our baptism, is interceding to the Father. But whereas we so often are praying in ways where it's all about my will be done, the Spirit intercedes in ways that is always going to be faithful to thy will be done. What an amazing comfort to know that when we can't seem to figure out how to get away from our own sinful selfishness, the Spirit is interceding in ways that are selfless, that are focused on what God would desire for us. So let me just give you an example. A lot of times when I'm praying, I'll just simply say I'm chalking it up to the Holy Spirit. Okay? All right, that's kind of how I put it, just quite frankly. So I'll say, this is truly how I do it. This wasn't in the first sermon. You're getting an extra bonus here. Everything will go an extra 20 minutes. All right. But the thing is I'll just simply say, I don't know what to pray. And so I'm chalking this one up to the Holy Spirit. Lord, please help. I don't have the words right now, but you have told me in your word that your Spirit intercedes for me with groanings too deep for words. So intercede for me now, because I'm overwhelmed and I'm hurting and I'm scared and I don't know what to do. And so intercede for me as you have promised. In Jesus' name, amen. And it's just relying on that promise. That's the beauty about praying the Lord's Prayer as well, because what it does is it reorients us back to those words, thy will be done. It gets us back to where we need to be praying. It gets us back to where he's redirecting us right to where we need to be, which is focused on him as we look forward to his return. And on that great and glorious day, our waiting will come to an end. Creation is going to be restored, and everything is going to be all that we hoped for and more. Our groanings are going to be replaced with shouts of joy. We will behold a new heaven and a new earth. All tears will be wiped away. I mean, just envision this for a moment. Every knee will bow. You will be on your knees. Even if your knees hurt, you're still going to be on your knees. Jesus, he will get down in your face and he will wipe away tears from your eyes. You will behold your Savior face to face, and you will be with your Lord forever. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more death, just Jesus. And this is what I can tell you. Remember when I asked you at the beginning, isn't it hard to wait? My friends, seeing Jesus, it'll definitely be worth the wait. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.